was just one problem with that strategy. They didn't know Phil Boyer and the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. And rather than me have me try to speak for that powerful group, we've got the president of AOPA himself here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Phil Boyer.
Well, thanks, Ed. And usually we are on fairly separate sides. This is only my third time in the 18 years I've been in this job that I've been at NBAA. We operate a corporate aircraft, so we're very much like you. But primarily our core member is a person who flies a single-engine piston airplane, generally rents, doesn't even own. But as we looked at this picture, as we looked at Europe, as we looked at other places in the world which has gone to a user fee system, we've seen the end of general aviation, especially at the low end. So it served us well to be, as I say in the industry, Ed and I are joined at the hip and have been since the first of the year. We're on the phone with each other probably five times a day. I don't take all of his calls because I have other things to do at AOPA. And we're on our BlackBerries or email well into the night. And it's been an alliance that has served us well. Because I have never in my history, he's being kind, using the FAA as the villain, but in the history of my short political career, the last 18 years in Washington, I have never seen such gamesmanship as we've seen, particularly in the United States Senate, where when they finally came out with their bill, they said, we're not touching the little guys. No aviation fuel tax increase for avgas, but a giant tax increase for turbine fuel, and then a small but innocent-looking $25 user fee. And we coined the phrase, camel's nose under the tent. $25 this time around. Yes, it's not going to stop us from operating our CJ3. It's not going to stop our members who operate single-engine turboprops. Small costs added. But look what happens once you go down the road of privatizing. And Jim May himself, at that same conference that Ed played the tape for about we don't need Congress, we don't need the FAA, we don't need the DOT, turned to me on the podium in front of about 700 people in Florida and said, and you've won, Phil. Your members are going to get away scot-free. We have nothing to do. What they fail to recognize is that 57,000 AOPA members fly turbine airplanes. And many of our students in our membership, 50,000 as a matter of fact, a recent survey just showed, are on a career path to go to the airlines or to fly for one of you in your corporate flight departments. So a quarter of our membership either flies turbine airplanes or is on a path to fly turbine airplanes. Well, you can see the kind of tactics that have been used here. The numbers that Ed came out with are based on a very, very flawed study that Jim May is using, that the FAA is using. The biggest problem we have right now and have had for the last 2 years is for the first time in these user fee battles, joined at the hip also are the FAA administrator and the previous administrator and the airlines. Never before, and I think Ed and I have compared notes many times, in these battles we've been through three or four times, have we seen such a long gestation period? My gosh, was it last year there was an International Safety Council, a safety meeting that the FAA sponsored for 2 days, and it was all spent on financing air traffic control systems.
Basically, what we think is that we should have a more equitable system. Right now, the passenger, the guy who's sitting back in 22C, is actually paying more than his fair share of the cost of the system. We have looked at this.
The passengers aboard aircraft that are paying the freight, and right now they're paying about 94 out of every $100 that go into the air traffic control system. I would point out that there are some 18,000 of these corporate aircraft flying around in the system today, paying very little for the use of that system. And I, for one, am tired of having our customers subsidize these so-called bigwigs.
I think Edna likes wearing big wigs, not subsidizing them.
You got that right, buddy. These other big wigs flying their corporate jets are an easy street compared to the rest of us. Take my summer.
Daggummit, I got to be in Dallas by 2:30. I'm headed to Hawaii tonight. Hey, what's the holdup?
Cool your jets, young buck. You may have been made yesterday, but they still have to use 1950s technology to control traffic up in the tower.
Coming through. I've got a foursome here with an early tea time.
Buzz, Hotshot there is clogging up our skies.
There's twice as many of them as us nowadays.
But under rules set in the 70s, they're only paying 6% of the taxes to run the air traffic control system.
Yo, Mr. Hot Stuff, you pay your fair share to strut around here?
Well, unfortunately, partner, the way it works is we pay and they play.
America's air traffic controllers are using 1950s technology, paid for with a 1970s funding formula when corporate jets were virtually unknown.
Oh, Dara, make sure our tea time is confirmed.
Now there are twice as many corporate aircraft as commercial planes, using the air traffic control system and being subsidized by airline passenger ticket taxes. Log on, tell Congress you support smart skies and no subsidies for corporate jets.
You get the point. This is the kind of thing they were doing. Actually, this room should be as full as your opening session and some of your big sessions. We should be turning the lights down in halls B and C and playing this kind of trivial material that's been run by the airlines. And maybe then people who fly in corporate airplanes and who fly corporate airplanes would understand the battle that we are now fighting. And once again, the charges in the bill right now, as if it sat just the way it is, are not onerous. They wouldn't stop any of us from flying turbine aircraft. But it's the path they set for the future. It's the precedent we're fighting. And so besides those ads, there's the bigwig campaign. There were bus signs. There were metro signs to try to attract Congress. There were ads in the baggage claim area at all of the Washington, D.C. airports. A very, very effective campaign by the airlines. A website to give anybody who wanted more information, like the end of that last ad, an ability to read the airlines' lies and also click through and tell Congress. Web ads are being placed in many of the popular sites. These are blown up little, we call them bricks. They're about that 1-inch by 1-inch square that you can click on and go to get more information. Print ads. Not running in Time magazine or any of the magazines that you as consumers would see, but running on the newspapers and in the magazines that the Capitol Hill staff reads. Because remember, this issue is going to be decided by 535 people. One of the tactics the airlines did, I think it's to some extent backfired on them, but they felt real proud, was each one of them in their in-flight magazines ran at least a page or ran ads and actually in-flight entertainment systems, while a lavatory is overflowing in a Continental Airlines trapped for 3 hours at Newark, they're seeing an in-flight entertainment system that says it's all about general aviation being the cause of what's happening on this plane. Or when the computer goes out for weight and balance in Los Angeles and delays flights for 4 hours, it's all about general aviation's use of the system. So they were telling their customers on the airplanes for these long delays in their magazines. AOPA got a little tired of every member saying, have you seen this? Have you seen it? They were sending us the magazine, sending us copies. So what we did in each case was we got the email address of the CEO of that airline, not the administrative assistant or the PR department or anybody else, the airline address. We put it up on our website and in our e-newsletters, and we said to members, if you're riding this airline, if you read this, do something about it. Get to these people. Well, we had people, just like you have in your companies, that said, do you know how much I spend with my company? I have 30 people. I have 200 people. I have this many people. X amount of dollars, and I will look for an alternative whenever possible from now on than to using your airlines. A few of them went back to our good friend at ATA, Jim May, and said, you know, this may not be working right. And unfortunately, this has lasted right through till about the current last couple weeks. Alaska Airlines, their CEO is Bill Ayer. He is an AOPA member, flies a Malibu, called him, as Ed called some of the other people and met with some of the other people earlier in the year and said, you know, Bill, can't we work this food fight out so that it doesn't escalate into really what's happened now? and we talked on the phone for a while. We could get nowhere. Well, he was about the last CEO in their airline magazine about 2 weeks ago to run a full-page editorial. We did exactly the same thing. We don't tell members to be incendiary. We give them the facts. They write to him. I got an angry letter back from him. And without quoting the letter or worrying about what the letter was about, it basically said, it's okay for us to tell things to the public, but we don't want to hear the other side of the story. And this is kind of what we've been battling all year long. Now, we haven't spent $11 million yet between us. And yet at the same time, I think as we've done things, we've done them cost-effectively, highly cost-effectively. First of all, we're not trying to get the great whitewashed American public to understand this issue. It would be far too much for them to understand what your corporate aircraft do, how they operate, what they bring to the economy. It's just too big a mission. But there are those people, both sides of Capitol Hill, many of them already know the value of general aviation. Many of them are getting around their states. Many of them are getting around their districts with GA. And those are the people that we very effectively spent considerable dollars for both organizations to try to address in a variety of ways. And rather than it being one voice, AOPA, two voices, AOPA and NBAA, we've turned to working through an alliance. And for that information, I'd like to turn the meeting over to the executive director of that alliance, Selina Shalott.